This is Frank Skinner. This is Absolute Radio.
This is Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio with Emily Dean and Pierre Novelli. Text the show on 8 12 15. Follow us on X and Instagram at Frank on the Radio. Email via frank@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Morning, boys.
Good morning. I had a driver this morning. Older guy. And he said, I was driving a woman, she was a makeup artist. He said, people in the entertainment world, they're different, aren't they? He said, it's like they've...
Wow.
Some are odd about... He said, in good odd, obviously it's what makes them what they are, but they are odd people. I said, do you think so? He said, yeah. And he said, like, he talked about presenters. And then he said, I've had some comedians in the car. You expect them to be... I'm not doing the accent. He had quite a broad West Indian accent. He said, expect them to be lively. You know, you think, oh, a comedian's going to be lively. He said, but they're not. He said, I had Lenny Henry in the car. He's very quiet. He said, that you think they're going to be lively, but they're all hiding something, the comedians.
Oh,
I didn't say anything.
Well, that's because you've got too much to hide.
I have way too much to hide. I had a Fabergé egg in my breast pocket.
Can I say zero to hide?
No. I've had that in hotel rooms, women saying, I know what it's like with comedians. You're like broken-hearted clowns, aren't you?
And what have you said?
Just keep going.
Oh,
anyway.
Oh, my. 8:07, Absolute what? Radio.
I like the idea that this guy had, that a comedian at sort of 6 in the morning or whatever time would get into the back of his cab and go, just giggling and setting off little pranks. And...
I've met comedians, and I'm sure you have, Pierre, where you think, I wonder what occurred to you to go into comedy. How did you get there?
But normally the ones that I really think that about are still like that on stage. Whereas when they're funny on stage and not off, then I think, yeah, fine, you're not at work.
No.
Yeah, I think sometimes.
But there's things like, how did you know?
Yeah.
How did you know you were funny?
It was in there somewhere.
Yeah.
A private suspicion.
It must be internally funny.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, that's no good.
No.
You won't get a nice house like that. Anyway, that was him. That was my ride. And a funny thing happened on the way to the radio station. He was a nice man, other than that.
Okay.
But, people like the idea that anyone who's got things going for them must have some deep inner tragedy. It makes them feel a bit better about the world.
Mm.
We all do it.
Oh, we want the darkness.
Yeah, I do. You know, when you hear about a big, gorgeous film star having, you know, broken marriage, you think, oh, phew. Thought their life was perfect. I couldn't live with it in comparison to my own, which is perfect, as it turns out. So, listen, I told you my New Year's resolution.
Oh, yeah, what was it again?
You're making a New Year's resolution. Was to listen. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
How's that going?
It was all right in the car this morning. So I went to a listening party.
What?
At the weekend. Mm. Are you familiar with the phenomenon? A listening party? Yeah. I went to one before I told you about.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, where you sat on the...
Sat on the floor, listened to a 75-minute album.
Yes, I do remember this.
Well, this time I went to Rough Trade... which is a record shop.
Oh, right.
In case you're wondering.
Oh, I was going
to
say.
That happened to me. I was in Melbourne at the Melbourne Festival with a girlfriend and about 8 comedians, and a bloke broke from the crowd and said to me, don't I know you from Trade? And Trade was not just a gay nightclub, but like a real hardcore. Trade used to open at 3 a.m.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And, I think, was it near a fire?
I don't know where it was.
Frank rather brilliantly suggested that fire should have a...
Have a pub next door called the Frying Pan. But, so my girlfriend of the time went, no, you didn't see him in there. And the comedians all sort of went, we could tell they loved it. And I, of course, thought, have I been in there? I don't know, but it was an interesting... but anyway, that's not where I was. I was in Rough Trade, which is a record shop. Oh, you know The Secret Life, though? If you've got The Secret Life when that comes out, whatever The Secret Life is, and you know comedians hiding... Anyway, a listening party, yeah, so that's what it is. It's a bit like I found my mate who'd been, when we all left home, when we was whatever age, one of my mates stayed with his mum and dad till he was probably 40.
We call that Gen Z.
And beyond. Yeah, it's a big thing now, but then there was no need, there was no economic need, it's just what he did. So, you know, it's like he paid like £5 a week board for about 30 years, you know, that thing, it never went up. Board is what you pay your mum and dad to for your keep. Anyway, I found him up and had seen him for years. I said, do you want to meet up? I was in Birmingham doing a gig. And he said, why don't you come round my house? We can listen to some music. And he'd said that to me, like, when we was 14, he used to say that. And that's what a listening party is like, basically. It's a version of that. So we went to Rough Trade, which is, I mean, a tremendous record store, if they still call them that, to listen to Saviours, which is the new Green Day album. Mm. And I had that thing about when you're listening to music, where do you look?
Well, you have to do... You've either got the Terry Venables, as you know, Frank.
Key tapping.
He did the key tapping, didn't he?
We were all standing, I should say, in there.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's awkward. And if you shut your eyes, then you sort of think people are looking at you going, oh, someone's enjoying it.
Yes.
Someone's in a referee.
Well, I was... I looked around, there was a lot of just nodding heads.
This is when you were listening to Three Lions for the first time.
No, this was...
Oh, this is the Green Day.
Yeah, those were nodding heads because the team were falling asleep. Now, everybody was just... There were still people talking. I thought that was amazing. Still people at the back talking.
A listening
party.
I think if you opened a club called Shut Up, people would still go there to talk.
Yeah, I
it's
think
it's just impossible to stop them.
If they went there, because they might think it was shut up. Me and my partner, Kath, we used to listen to new albums. We would lie on our backs on the floor, holding hands, and listen to like the new Fall album or something like that in the dark. Yeah, like if you imagine a wedding cake where the plastic couple had toppled.
I was just thinking how romantic, and then I realised you'd be listening to The Child or Spoiled Victorian.
Well, exactly. It was romantic.
Yeah.
And also, when you get grey hair like myself, you can't really hold hands in the street because it looks like you're being led. And usually led somewhere that's, in inverted commas, for the best.
For your own good, Frank.
Yeah, exactly. So, I didn't...
So you liked the listening?
It was great. It was a good album. They were very nice, the people at... I was at Rough Trade West. There's a Rough Trade West and a Rough Trade East, but I was out West.
And do you get any food or drink at the listening party?
No, but you got a badge, a poster, and a sticker.
Oh, it's the Tufty Club. And, you've got a badge.
I didn't get a badge. Buzz got a badge. And a wristband to keep. You don't have to put on, so it's keepable.
Keep it.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it was. I also got, because the man was so nice who worked in there, this wasn't. Not everybody got one of these. I got a custard donut, which he said to me, it's a bit stale. I said, I don't care. What? Just give it me.
It's official Green Day custard donut.
No, this was one he had in the... I think there's a bakery next door and they probably hand them over. But anyway...
When you say hand them over...
I love a custard donut. I like it better than a jam.
Why don't we get some? Oh, I love a custard.
Well, it's my birthday next week.
Yeah.
Anyway... When I have a custard donut, I got to rush because the producer just... she did that thing of kneeling, standing behind me and then kneeling so the back, my knees bent as well, so I nearly went to the ground. But, and I like to bite the bit. I can see the hole where they put the custard in, but I bite at the other side and sort of play the game that I'm thinking, oh, there's no custard in this one. I know there is, but just for me. It's just self-deception. And then I bite and... Oh man, the best. Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio. And one of my attempts, which I make now and again, to get into classical music, which have never been, it's usually, oh man, this is brilliant. I'm going to listen to classical music. I'm bored.
Really?
That's how it usually goes. So I'm all right with the opera, but I need to be at the opera. I can't listen to opera. Okay. I need to see stuff.
I think you've got to find an artist, because I approach classical music not like most. People are normally quite generale, I find, put on classical music. Find someone you're passionate about and just play them. Chopin.
Of course that can be done, but you know what I mean? I've got busy. Also, I read this book, Classical Music 101, it was called. And it was like how to get into it. And it said, so when you listen, like, and it said, you start off with the Brandenburg Concerto by Bach.
Of course.
You draw the curtains and you sit, don't slouch, sit upright on your sofa and put it on and you close your eyes. It's the listening party that got me thinking about this. And you sit upright and you listen and you focus on every scratch of the string. And I'd never listen to music like that.
No, because you're not a serial killer in a Netflix drama.
Yeah. No.
Or the detective.
Darren Brown when I went backstage. And he knew I was coming and he sat with his fingers on his forehead listening to us, like Maria Callas or something. He just sat, like, this is how I always sit in my dressing room. Mate, have a biscuit, Darren. You don't have to do that for me. Have a biscuit.
Just thinking psychic thoughts.
Oh, man. It looked great. I wish I took a photo, but that would have been a bit rude.
That's the thing. Whenever I hear opera, I think, oh, someone's going to get whacked. It does happen in the films, I find.
Yeah. Well,
anyway.
As I say, it's like a musical with PMT. Opera. Anyway, I'd like to know how people listen to music, if anyone actually goes anywhere, if they've got a way of listening to music.
A method.
Yeah. Does anyone literally sit in a room with their eyes shut, upright, and listen to an album?
I can't imagine.
Well, we'll find out. We've got some varied people listen to the show.
True.
And lots of big music fans, so we'll see.
Classical music 101.
I don't mean classical music. But there won't be anyone who listens to that rubbish.
It's really funny. It's really funny to me that there was a book where they were like, I'm going to write a book that's going to help people get into inaccessible world of classical music. And the first chapter is, sit up straight, shut your eyes and listen.
Draw the curtain. Why am I drawing the curtains if I've got my eyes shut?
Already.
My eyelids are curtains of a sort. Fringed curtains, like in a Wild West cat house. And I've got to do the curtains. What if it's night? I've still got to do the curtains. What if blinds all right? More not for Bach.
What about Venetian?
Oh, that there must be a Venetian composer. Mm. Don't bother texting in. We're not interested. But, so I'd like to know if anyone listens to, what do they call it on here? Real music. Mm. Real music like that. Or similar. Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio. Recently, I spoke of my second courtesy car. My car was nicked a few weeks ago. And it was a lot easier getting it back from the thieves than it was the garage.
Mm. Have you still got... Don't tell me they still haven't returned.
They're waiting for a part.
That's the point. This has been about 3 months.
They're waiting for a part. It's like talking to an old actor.
Aren't we all dear?
It feels like they should... In the modern era, it's such an old school problem. It feels like they should just be able to download the part.
Well, exactly. Haven't they got a 3D printer?
Yeah.
Any road up, I'm still in my Fiat 500.
How are you finding it?
I braved it. I actually, I know a woman who's in her 20s who drives a Fiat 500. So I said, can you give me a driving lesson, please?
Oh, we should say because it's geared, not...
Yes, it's got manual it's got manual gears and I haven't driven manual for 20 years.
Yes. Yeah.
So I got Boz in the back seat because we couldn't get anyone any bigger in the back seat than Boz of a Fiat 500. Boz is my child. And off we went. And I have to say, it started to come... My feet were way ahead of my brain.
Really?
And it started to come back to me. Pretty soon, I was riding the clutch, cruising downhill. All the bad habits are still in there. I felt really good about it, I must say. No more automatics for me.
Oh, really?
Oh, man, I tell you what, you feel like you're really driving.
There you go.
Yeah. Six gears it's got. Six! I never had anything. When do you go into the six? Is that hyperspace?
What is it for, the six gear?
Well, fast in a Fiat 500. A sixth gear.
Yeah.
What's that? I drive over dead people. No, it was. But I tell you something that's true for me of the automatic and the manual. Mm. I still found parking near impossible, and even though it was a Fiat 500, size doesn't matter in this particular world. Oh. It still took me about 10 minutes to park it, and it looks like something you could just pick up and put in place.
It's never been your Rocco Forte.
I can't work it out. I just can't do it.
Would you be tempted by one of those cars where you sort of go next to the space and press a button and the...
Oh, yeah. It took me 7 minutes to park one of those electric hire scooters.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. And also, it's a very quiet beep. You know, they got the beeps when you're hitting the car behind or in front?
Oh, yeah.
It's like... I thought it was somebody's washing machine in a nearby utility room. That's what I thought it was. But, I'm actually thinking the next car I get, I might go manual. I feel sorry for the automatic. It's a bit like the red squirrel. It's been supplanted. Frank Skinner. Absolute Radio.
Frank, I own a Faz.
I know you do, but you don't wear it in this weather. You need some at furry.
Which I donated to you.
Yes.
I got it from...
From Jonathan Ross.
Bought it for me in Morocco and tried to haggle and ended up getting it three times the price.
Mm.
There you go. I own a Faz has got in touch. My boyfriend must listen to about 8 albums a day while serving customers in his record shop, from pure Ethiopian jazz on vinyl to just Ben Folds on CD.
I listened to some Ethiopian music recently on the advice of...
Your doctor?
No, my optician.
Really?
You know, I got a new optician just lately. Can I be straight? I didn't mention the name because I don't like to advertise things, but I've totally fallen in love with Cubits.
What's Cubits?
Cubits is the optician. You get this, and this, you know the way to my heart. When you pick your glasses up, your new glasses, they come in a tote.
Oh.
I've got the tote. Pass me my tote, will you, please?
Look, Cubits is quite a biblical
name. I'm showing my tote. And it's a sturdy tote. There's totes that are linen and there's ones that are canvas.
Yeah. I'm still reeling from pass me my tote, please.
Yes. And then...
Strange court we've ended up in.
Boy, my tote.
And you get art designed... you know those things that you clean your glasses with that come in the cases?
Yes. Oh,
They have the pirate trousers, jagged edge.
Yes.
Oh, they've got the serrated.
They've got Kermit's
pirate
neck.
Trousers.
Kermit's neck.
Fred Flintstone's gown.
Gown.
Yeah, I think Things have played your glasses.
No, no. I haven't moved on from gown.
Gown. I'd love to say to Fred Flintstone, it's a lovely fur gown.
Yeah.
Have you got anything?
Do I know you from trade?
Could I've come to pick up my gown. Hold on, I'll just get my pincing scissors to do the edge.
It's sleeveless with a rather strange gratuitous blue tie around the neck.
Well, I think he works, doesn't he, in a quarry.
Oh, yes. that makes there perfect sense. Yes. He wears a leopard print dress to work.
A blue tie.
Anyway, in a quarry. So,
Flintstone, that gown isn't formal enough.
They've also got a Cubits magazine. Oh. That you can go and pick up free from the shop.
Just for the shop?
Yeah.
I wonder what sort
which
of...
Which is about Cubits and a sort of, you know, just men about town, women about town, high fashion.
Latest totes
talk.
Reviewed.
Yeah,
bit
exactly.
Weird having a magazine in a glasses shop.
No, it's perfect for you throwing out your readers. And also, there's a podcast. There's a Cubits podcast.
No, there's not.
There is!
Cubits podcast.
I'd say it's changed my life. And everyone I've met in there has recommended interesting music to me.
What?
What, yeah. They got their own record label,
I played
label,
on
Cubits.
Here 1 week. I can't remember the name of the band. Can you remember the band, Sarah? I played a band on here a few weeks ago because the woman in the shop in Cubits got a T-shirt on.
How many times have you mentioned Cubits?
This place is
sorry.
A cult.
I pay. I know we're not getting anything free.
Can we just say we are not being paid by Cubits?
No. When I talked to Manon before, but then I met someone the other day who also loved Cubits and we just Cubited out.
Hang on, they've got tote bags.
Sorry.
Hang on,
got a friend. No, yeah. You've made a friend on the basis of the fact that you share an optician.
Yeah. You know how people go on Star Wars chat rooms? Well, I've done it with Cubits.
Hi, do you like Cubits as well?
Hold up your pictures of us holding up our brown totes.
Discussing the latest podcast episode.
Hey guys, new tote just dropped.
No, they do. They do change the art design on the cleaning
You're
cloth.
Kidding.
They do on a regular basis. And you get, when you get it, you get like clean, you get spray for your lenses as well when you pick your stuff up. Just saying.
There's something to say on the forum next time you go on.
But they seem to have a hiring nerds policy, which appeals to me. Okay.
This is Frank Skinner. This is Absolute Radio.
I think I slightly crashed Iona Fez's communication with a sort of a long Cubits chat.
Ethiopian jazz.
Ethiopian jazz.
That's how you thought of it.
Yeah, that was it. That was it.
Mm.
And it was, she was saying, is it a boyf or a husband?
BF, yeah.
A boyf. Listens to 12 albums a day.
About at least 8 while serving customers in his record shop.
But again, he is serving customers. He's not sitting in a room upright.
Yeah.
No.
With the curtains drawn and his eyes closed. I just, that level of focus.
Mm. Yeah.
What about if you're listening to Focus? Maybe that would help.
Well, you're not alone because.
You lie. That was a bit of Focus.
Welcome to Friendship with Fran. Louise Ryan has got in touch. I love the show. Oh, sorry. It slips some praise in.
No.
I know. I don't know what happened. I don't know what I was thinking. Well, you and I, Louise continues, have very similar listening habits.
Okay.
I too, as a teen, would shut the dark green heavy velvet curtains in the lounge. It's all gone a bit gone with the wind.
Yeah.
Lie on my back, tall speakers either side of my head, and listen to our new stack CD system in the mahogany cabinet. Parents out, maximum volume. Kate Bush, Springsteen, Tom Waits, and you too.
Oh. But, you know, 1 out of 4 in bed.
However, reclassical, exactly the same.
Yeah, it's hard, classical, isn't it? I'm waiting for the words all the time.
I think you need to. I think you need
they're
to.
Basically, karaoke tracks, classical music.
Beethoven saying, "Sing along if you know the words," and then back to the piano. I think it needs to be music that you know enough about that you can listen in detail. If you learn to play the piano or the violin or something, and then you can, it's like when I watch football versus when I watch rugby. I've never played football enough that I can see that they're good, but I don't have an insight.
Mm.
Whereas if I watch rugby, I was made to do that, so I can go, wow, that's good stuff.
Well, I've only recently realised that I've been watching football for 50 years.
Yeah.
I've learnt nothing of it. I'm honestly serious. I just stopped me the other day. I was watching probably a couple of months ago, I was watching Match of the Day, and they said, yeah, but what they've done there, they've dropped two or three in midfield. And I thought, I don't know what that means. And I've never known what it means. And everything that people have said about three at the back or playing a whatever it is, an invisible number nine, I can't even remember the terminology. I don't understand it. I've watched probably 1,000 goals scored against West Bromwich Albion at the Hawthorns live, and I could probably explain what went wrong on about 5 of them. And that's because it's been a major individual error.
Yeah.
But usually I think, that was a goal, I don't know what. And when they say, yeah, look at the gap between these two players, so what? What difference does that make? After 50, I would have thought, if I'd have watched someone making wedding dresses for 50 years, I'd be able to make a reasonable wedding dress.
Yeah, you'd have picked up something.
Or at least know what they would do. I've learnt nothing from it. It's unbelievable.
Watching the wedding dress being made, going, oh, I see the gaps there. You can see what's gone wrong.
I haven't been watching it casually. I've been utterly engrossed, reading about it, talking about it.
Mm.
Somebody asked me any kind of tactical question. Not the first idea. Really? Don't get it.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
Frank, Ruth Jordan has been in touch.
Oh, yeah. Of course, yes.
I'm trying to imagine what Frank's dad would have made of Cubits Opticians, given his reaction to Frank's brother getting a toothbrush that time. And can we just remind our readers who aren't familiar what your dad said when, I think it was our Terry, came home with a toothbrush?
We've lost him. Yeah. Well, times have changed, obviously. My dad I don't think he ever wore glasses. I can't remember him in glasses. He probably saw them as some sort of
frippery
affectation. Mm. Yeah.
What would he have thought? Totes. Would he have appreciated a dense tote?
I think he'd have been all right with a tote.
I don't think he'd have used the expression totes.
No.
They wouldn't have said, are you coming to the pub, totes?
No.
He wouldn't have said that.
Oh, no, you mean that kind of... Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I suppose I do get totes in moats about totes.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
Yeah. By the way, when did people stop saying settee and start saying sofa?
We never said settee.
Did you not?
What about couch?
Couch, that's an American.
Is it American?
I think so. Or Freudian. But no one, settee, it's gone. Just hit me.
Yeah.
Frank, you've been talking a lot about your new optician.
Sorry. I know.
You've had a conversion I'm going to go now.
I'm not on a retainer. I don't get anything. I pay for what they've
been. That's the dentist.
Yeah. You even pay.
I do like my dentist. I'm an extractor fan.
Oh. You've even had to pay for the Fred Flintstone silk serrated
gown.
Cleansing. It's not a gown.
No, I like to think that comes free with the glasses. But I'll be honest with you. I was so excited about the whole Cubits experience. I bought a second pair of glasses as a spare, just as an excuse to hang out in there a bit more.
Wow, do you know what I think about them?
And I thought, when you get second glasses, you think I can go a bit more avant-garde with these.
Oh, did you go Elton John?
So I've got like little circular. You know what I was saying? My haircut. I was after. 1920s East European novelist. I've gone for that with these little rounds.
Hang on, are they a bit Dracula? Gary Oldman Dracula?
They're a bit sort of James Joyce-y type, but not shaded.
I'm seeing the little professor in Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, it could be that.
Professor.
Okay. Well, anyway, you've actually...
It'd be a great name for a barber's, wouldn't it? Professor. Anyway, sorry.
You've lured me over to them. I'm going to go to them now.
Give them a try.
I like the sound of, you know, because I think, frankly, part of your motivation for going there is friendship.
You know I'm not very good at friendship.
No, but they're lovely friends for you, Frank.
Well, that's the kind of friendship I like. Lasts about 8 minutes of intense nerd chat.
Largely transactional.
Yeah, largely. No.
So, listen, I've discovered there are quite a few high-profile people. Because I was thinking...
What, Cubitarians?
I was thinking you could be an ambassador for
Cubitals. Yeah, oh, yeah. I know I don't want to be an ambassador.
There's some high-profile Cubitarians?
I'm holding out for UNICEF.
Well, the company has 16 shops. Do you want me to... Some of the celebrity customers include...
Is this like the bit on Wikipedia where it says notable residents? And it says things like... it says things like Simon Le Bon went to school in nearby Branchurch or something like that.
And then the other entry is a bishop from the 1500s.
Yeah, exactly.
Go, right, OK.
It's a natural break, so let's have a
cliffhanger.
A Cubitarian cliffhanger. I'm clutching my tote. Frank Skinner
on Absolute Radio. Frank, you left things on something of a cliffhanger.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, it was notable citizens of Cubits.
Yes.
So people who were other celebrities other than yourself.
I bet there isn't a 15th century bishop in this.
Wow. No, but there is. I'll give you a sample.
Shall we guess? Can we have guess one each? Who would be?
Oh, I'd love that. Who are the... Okay, I've got a list here of five of Cubit's top celebrity glasses wearers.
Okay.
So,
go on, Pierre, you
give me your
first.
Best shot.
Oh, I don't know. I'm trying to think. Heston Blumenthal.
Incorrect.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's too... He's too obvious.
I think his glasses feel a little bit more... They're a bit more from the future. Titanium.
Mm,
whereas Cubits, a little bit more New York Library.
Yes, exactly.
Over to you,
Therefore,
Frank.
Therefore, Linda Lusardi.
No!
If she's on, I would be...
Come on.
Matt Smith.
No, but I think you can do this. I'm going to kick you off with one. Number one, Prue Leith.
Prue Leith.
Of course.
Prue Leith.
Number two, Cubits customer, Hugh Grant.
Oh.
Number three, Alan Carr. They've got
Don't
the big fish.
Don't mention that man. My son's favourite comedian shops at Cubits. I'm not going back.
And finally, Jay Blades. Off repair shop.
Oh God. I thought it was going to be Hollywood stars.
Well, there are also Ariana Grande
don't get
and
me
Madonna.
Wrong. All very nice people, don't get me wrong.
Ariana Grande and Madonna. And
really?
Idris Elba also.
Madonna goes to Cubits. Get out of it. I hope I never turn up when she's in there.
What about... Oh, yeah. She seems nice, doesn't she?
She always seems very warm.
She seems lovely.
And she's kept her feet on the ground, Madonna.
Yeah, really, really nice.
Really sweet.
She doesn't look warm.
No. Well, she should wear more.
Yeah.
Frank, I'm just saying, we'll stop
talking...
No,
she's always seemed like a nasty person.
Absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
Frank...
I could be wrong, but...
No.
Probably not.
Frank, we're going to stop talking about the glasses shop now because we're not getting... We should stress. There is no money changing hands.
Jay Blades.
Yeah.
Is he...
Jay Blades.
I can't remember. Does he wear glasses all the time or does he put them on for close work in the repair
shop? Oh, getting a bit competitive
with
Jay Blades. Now you found out he's a Cubits customer.
Yeah. I'm not in the top five. Can you believe that? What a punch in the stomach that is.
Yeah, I have to take it up with them on their podcast.
Yeah,
but Frank,
cooks, repairmen.
Tradies?
Yeah,
yeah. Gosh.
Type of spectacles very popular with the staff.
There is another...
Oh, mate. Hello, you've got a... I'm the handyman. I've got your cupboard doors come off. Yeah, come in. Nice glasses, by the way. Nice tote.
Thank you, sir.
Frank, are you pleased that Trump's
shall
back?
Shall we watch the Jumanji sequel, or shall we debate whether Trump's a billionaire again? let's watch the Jumanji sequel.
Yeah, he's back and he's looking good, I think.
He's saying mad things again.
Mm. Yeah.
You can shut your velvet curtains and close your eyes and listen to a rambling, maniacal speech.
Right. I thought you were saying that's one of the things he said. You should shut your velvet. Also, you've imposed velvet curtains on me. I never said I had velvet.
Can I just
never
say...
Law.
I'd like to trade shut the front door for shut your velvet curtain. Maybe I won't be saying that.
It's borderline.
No, it is a bit borderline. Okay, Madonna.
Borderline.
Oh, lovely. Clive Silas, that England's football fan number one, that's you, has been watching football for 60 years and doesn't understand what he's been watching is actually an enormous relief.
Oh. But it's almost unbelievable. It sounds like I'm trying to be deliberately...
No, I think people find it genuinely reassuring.
But it's the most basic. They've switched to three at the back, have they? I didn't notice, and I'm at the game, and I really care about whether they win or not.
A number of people agreeing with you, like Mickey Beale and Sunderland. Frank, I'm in the same boat, re-football. I've learnt nothing.
Nothing?
I've learnt nothing.
It's so funny to, I'm imagining someone leaving a football stadium with their team scarf on, just going, I've learnt nothing.
No, but
none
you
of
would
that's
think,
gone in.
As you know, it hasn't been a casual interest for me. It's been a deep, deep passion, of which I've learnt nothing.
But you know the offside rule and things. You don't know nothing.
I know...
You don't know nothing.
You don't know nothing.
I'm all right, good fellas.
I know nothing.
You don't tell anyone about how the football works.
You don't know nothing, Paulie.
I know the offside rule. I'm not sure whether you can still not be offside in your own half. I don't know if that rule's gone. So the rules are a bit... It's not so much the rules. It's tactics beyond me. Utterly beyond me.
Talking of football...
Did I tell you about... Sorry, when I was at the Albion once and a bloke behind shouted, they're getting us on the second phase pick-up every time. And that, he might as well have shouted something in Swahili. I meant, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Second phase pick-up.
Yeah.
Frank, talking of football, you know Gary Neville has joined the Dragon's Den?
Oh,
he's a dragon now. Well, what they have now is a slot.
Oh, because he's a business guy, isn't he? He's always trying things.
And he introduces himself. I love it because I'm a business owner. I've invested in a lot of businesses over the years. He has a restaurant, various other things. Mm. But they have a slot now, the sort of temporary dragon slot, where the person just comes in occasionally, so they're not committed to the weekly spend.
Okay.
And I've got to be honest, you know who I thought of for that temporary slot? Frank Skinner.
But I don't have a business.
Yeah, but you don't have to.
Oh.
You've done well for yourself.
I can't give these people advice. Remember, I was the man the first time I wore a umbrella hat. I honestly, deeply thought that's it for the handheld umbrella. It's finished. I thought maybe I should put all my savings into the umbrella hat. It's clearly going to change the world.
I'm just saying you've done very well for yourself.
I know,
you've
but
created
that,
your own business.
That's my background. I am my own business, though.
But they just say, would you like to invest $50,000 for 10% of the company?
It's called Cubits.
Yeah, but I would have said yes to the umbrella. That is my problem. I'd have said, no, can we make it $100,000 investment?
You're lowballing me. Yeah. You're shutting me out of
this. Yeah, I do a lot of playing. I play a lot of accordion in the rain. I think the umbrella hat is the future.
Frank Skinner. Frank Skinner. Absolute Radio. Absolute Radio.
We have heard from Paul in Kingston.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Frank and team.
Significant Anglo-Saxon settlement where many kings were crowned.
I know, but they couldn't spell. I mean, would it kill you to use a W? Hi, Frank and team. After hearing your revelation about the capacity of the theatre in Hastings last week...
Oh, yes.
Footnote, these are the kind of revelations you can expect on our show.
Well, I noticed on my list of... Me and Pierre are basically on tour, starting tomorrow in Swindon, and then we're all over the place.
Boys are back in town.
But we saw, or I saw, rather... The figures for selling the ticket sales and stuff, and I noticed that Hastings White Rock Theatre, the capacity was 1,066, 1,066. To be even more helpful, 1,066. That's the Hastings Theatre. And I mentioned it and to some of my staff, and they didn't know what I was talking about. But what I want to know is whether it was deliberately given that capacity.
It must have been. Well, Paul continues, after hearing your revelation, my wife decided to recount the fact to a work colleague, which is nice. She was very interested in what, you know, to hear that. He responded with an underwhelmed and confused, "All right, where's Hastings?" Unfortunately, the person she told was South African. Sorry, do you want to repeat that, Pierre, in the way he would have said it? How would he have said it?
It's a common attitude.
How would he say it? Maybe.
Oh, you mean the South African?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were pointing out the unfortunately they were South African.
Oh no.
How awful.
Unfortunately the person was South African.
Oh right, where's Hastings?
Okay.
Where's Hastings?
And
I don't know. Something like that.
I would imagine a bit more aggressive.
If only William the Conqueror had to say that. Could still be an Anglo-Saxon settlement.
And unlike Pierre, has little knowledge of British history. So he simply thought he was being told the capacity of a theatre hosting Frank and Pierre later this year. He's no doubt anticipating the capacity figures for another venue this week. Love, Paul in Kingston.
Yeah, well...
And then he says, P.S. Sorry. Can I say, this is in reference to you saying you were complaining about the lack of the capacity, and you were saying how many have we sold. He says, I hope the Hastings sales have increased.
Yeah, it was 23% when I looked it up.
Don't tell the figures, Frank!
Look, it's quality, not quantity.
It's true.
Anyway.
Well, I'd just like to finish.
Go on.
Paul says, I saw Frank in London before Christmas and I can thoroughly recommend it. I second that.
Yeah, but that was... I was at trade. He just bumped into me. Can I say, I had a lovely letter from the Candlestick Press, notably the Candlestick team, Di Slaney and Kathy Towers. Great names, aren't they? And they make... Have you ever been in, like, bookshop, card shop, and you get little thin books of poetry that you sort of get instead of a Christmas card, and it says things like 10 Christmas poems or instead of a birthday.
A slim volume.
Yeah. But very good way of sneaking poetry up on people, which is a good thing to do. And they said, we hope you enjoy the ones we've picked out for you. So they've sent me some. It's my birthday next week, all very lovely. And these are the ones they picked for me. Music, good. Trees, football, art, getting older, and rubbish. Ten poems about rubbish they've sent me. So there you are. That's me summed up in a little collection. But that's very kind of you, Di and Kathy. There's a PP signature on it. Which is just someone whose signature is K, like they were in a Kafka novel.
Okay.
But anyway, lovely. I love a gift.
Do you think the little book of football poems will teach you any tactics?
No. Frank Skinner.
On Absolute Radio. Frank, I'd like to share something with you and Pierre.
He's not a hypodermic needle, is he?
Oh, too dark for breakfast.
Oh, sorry. You're right. It's too dark for breakfast. Too dark for breakfast.
This is from Sarah Russell. Because we've been discussing, you and Pierre have an upcoming gig in Hastings. You've been somewhat concerned about the ticket sales, something which you've been sharing openly.
Yeah, not concerned. It was a late addition, so exactly. We've only just started. I was more interested in their capacity, which is 1066.
Yeah. So Sarah Russell is a Hastings resident.
Nice.
And she's got in touch. Midweek. We love the midweekers, Frank. Dear Frank, Emily and Pierre, it's Sarah from 1066 country. Hastings, in short.
Pierre will know this. There's a place near Hastings called Battle. Is that where the actual battle happened? Do you
it's
know?
It's closer, yeah. Okay. It is, yeah.
I've been once. I filmed
warmer,
there once.
Getting warm.
You're getting warmer, yes. Exactly.
Oh, I love it. I filmed there once as a child.
In Battle?
No, I think it was Hastings.
Okay.
It was an episode of Thomas and Sarah, which was a spin-off of Upstairs Downstairs.
Oh, and it was all filmed in Hastings?
Yeah. I think it was John Alton and Pauline Collins ran away together, the servants.
And was it filmed or embroidered?
Long-term reader, first-time emailer. This is Sarah Russell.
Yeah.
I'm listening to the podcast and I'm getting in touch as 1066 seats will definitely be on purpose.
Okay.
We have 1066 everything down here. 1066 vets.
It's the name of a vet, not the amount they've got.
We've got 1,066 vets. Yeah. Very expensive.
We have 1066 bakery.
Oh, yes.
As Sarah says, we haven't got over it.
No.
I wish they had that on a brown road sign. When you entered Hastings, we haven't got over it.
That would be great. What are they twinned with, Hastings? Somewhere in Normandy, do we think?
Oh, Pierre will know.
Oh, twinned with. It would have to be somewhere else that is a site of a significant battle, surely.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Twinned with Tobruk.
Yeah.
My partner, by the way, bought me tickets to see you for Christmas before you told us to. And we are front and centre. This is in Hastings.
Excellent.
What seat number will that be?
Well, yes, every seat is 1066. It's very confusing. It's very single-sighted, as King Harold would have said.
Yeah. I was going to say the logo for the vets suggests itself, doesn't it? The dog with an arrow in its eye or something.
Oh, yeah.
Leaning back like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to think about that.
Okay.
Cruel.
Cruel.
Sort of thing Madonna would have on a T-shirt. And think, look at this picture of a dog with an arrow. Frank Skinner
on Absolute Radio. Oh, boys, I've been meaning to bring this up. Someone's got a birthday coming up.
Hey.
Imminently. Yeah. extraordinary reaction. And someone else has had a birthday celebration recently, but unlike Frank, they choose not to mention it.
No, I want to give everyone as good a chance as possible to get the best gift on the market.
Well, Kim Jong-un, I think what you're meant to call him, what do the residents have to call him? It's our brilliant comrade. That's what I call you.
Great helmsman. Things like that.
Is it? Yeah. Nice.
I think
we could introduce that on this show.
Well, there's one title, which is the genius amongst others, he likes to be called. That's the translation.
Okay.
The genius among others. Do you want us to call you that?
No.
Okay.
I don't like the idea that there's others.
Yes, Kim Jong-un's being uncharacteristically generous there.
He is, yeah.
He's turned...
To be fair to him, he's the pioneer of the short back and sides haircut, which I pursue with some gusto.
Yeah.
He has been with that for years.
Just produce a note to you. Could you make sure to call the podcast To Be Fair to Kim Jong-un?
No, don't call it.
He's turned... someone's had a big birthday. But he's a bit of a shy guy.
Well, we don't know this for sure, do we? The theory is he's 40, is that right?
Yeah. The theory is he's turned 40, but he's
You know the old song, nobody loves a tyrant when they're 40?
No, song was his grandfather.
Oh, yeah, sorry. He was the old song.
He was the old song.
Yeah. Well, he's a bit 1950s actress about the age, isn't he?
Yes, he's very coy. 39 again.
Well, a gentleman don't ask a lady her age. I think you're... You know, he's a bit like that.
I don't think he'd like to be called very coy. He hates the Japanese. I think maybe he doesn't tell people when his birthday is because he's worried the other guys in the government will give him the bumps. The only person on the planet who's never worried about being given the bumps, because at school we would keep our birthday secret.
Yeah.
Because in case you're not aware of this, you'd be grabbed by the hands and feet and bounced up and down for every year of your birthday on your spine, on the base of your spine.
Mm. Yeah, that was... Have they used to phase that out now?
I should think that's gone. Yes.
It was a dead arm equivalent when I was at school.
Oh, okay.
One sort of dead arm punch in the upper shoulder.
Just one,
year.
Not one. Oh, one for every year,
yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah, still every year.
So
yeah.
The reason...
Bumps and candles and dead arms...
Do you think he can't? The thing is that
my.
If you regularly preside over parades of missiles and tanks and sort of perfectly synchronized dances, you can't claim to not want to make a big deal out of things.
No.
You've lost your right to say.
We don't stand on ceremony here.
Here in North Korea, we like to keep things casual. So. There's 100 synchronized dancers whirl behind
you. He says, well, that is the reason that's being cited, is that he feels he hasn't achieved enough yet, and he is a humble leader, so he doesn't like to draw attention to it. Okay?
It's an intimidating birthday gift-buying process for Kim Jong-un.
Margaret Thatcher said if you don't own your own property by the time you're 30, you can call yourself a failure.
Well, I remember her saying if you still get the bus...
Okay.
She said if you... Yeah. So, sorry, Frank. I still get the bus. We all get the bus. Okay, thank you.
She never had a Freedom Pass dangled over her head like a tempting forbidden fruit.
But, yeah, what do you get the man who has everything?
Penicillin?
Yeah.
No, don't get me that. I'm allergic. I'm actually allergic.
The thing about KJ is that I would just be stiff with stress choosing gifts for him.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, Dennis Rodman, who's...
Are they friends?
They are.
Yeah, he's a unfriend. He unfriended him. He bought his daughter for her birthday, 10th birthday, I think it was. Rodman bought his daughter, whose name I can't remember. But he bought her a jigsaw with a mermaid on it. It's nice idea. Mm. But he also bought her a Where's Wally book. And I think in that circle, Kim Jong-un's asking the whereabouts of anyone. It's a dangerous habit to get someone into.
Watch your back, Wally.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
Just so you know, 386, for some bizarre reason, there's a piano shop in Cambridgeshire called 1066 Pianos. No idea.
Cambridgeshire?
Maybe the owners are descendants of some Norman nobles. That's John from Cherry Hinton.
It's possible. Okay. I think I've been to Cherry Hinton.
Good for you. Okay.
No, she's a local therapist.
Yeah, it sounds like she might have worked at the BBC in the 70s.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, why don't you run it by Cherry Hinton?
Yes, she's been working in documentaries for Michael Dean for some years. Very good PA, actually. Okay, so we are discussing... Kim Jong-un.
Yes.
Don't take this the wrong way, Frank. Nothing good ever came of a sentence starting that way, I know.
No, it didn't.
But I think he might be quite a nice friend for you.
He he can turn, though, Connie.
Kim Jong?
I think he's fickle as a friend. As an unfriend.
Yeah, but he's got a similar...
He might unfriend me.
Oh, yeah, you don't want that.
No, I think the uncle was actually executed.
Yes.
To fell out with.
Yes. Oh,
lovely.
Well, we're never sure of any of these facts, of course. They keep themselves to themselves.
Yes, yeah, they mind
what?
Their own business.
He's so secretive, I find.
I tell you, what has Kim Jong-un got in common with David Beckham?
I thought you were going to say David, but ew.
Alice Bands? No.
No.
Oh. I don't really know.
Well, I'll tell you. He saw his wife. Do you remember the story that David Beckham was in the players' bar after a game and he saw that video in the desert of the Spice Girls?
So you'll be there.
When Victoria Adams, as she was then, was wearing like a black PVC catsuit type thing. And he supposedly, this is what the legend says, he says, I'm going to marry that woman.
That's very good.
That's good.
And apparently, Kim Jong-un saw his wife singing on stage. And a similar thing, but obviously when he says I'm going to marry that woman, you start sending out the invites. We'll tell her next week.
It became true the second he said
exactly.
it, as opposed to a wistful comment.
You know what? The thing about Kim Jong, when he makes the proposal, you don't hang about.
No. Yeah,
then four blokes headed towards the stage. He said, "Not Barry, marry."
We should say the four. I would say you see that's a particular Venn diagram, Frank. Others in that group.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Caine, of course.
Oh, Michael Caine saw his wife in a coffee advert on the telly, and said to his agent, supposedly, "I'll never get to meet her because she's Brazilian."
Also very good.
And he said, and the agent said, "No, Michael, she actually lives in Ealing." And she was Indian.
Also, we have planes now.
I don't think we did then.
No.
And then finally, I'd like to add to that group, Simon Le Bon.
Simon Le Bon. Well, where did he see Jasmine?
In a magazine.
Oh, really? When I think of the women I saw in magazines at that period and never proposed to any of them.
Oh, Frank.
And I felt I knew them well enough.
In some cases, they were already married.
Anyway.
Any road, yes.
KJ.
Yeah.
So we were talking about his birthday. His 40th, which went largely uncelebrated. However, we do know where he was. There is an alleged date, isn't there? We know it was 1984, and we think it was...
Very apt.
He couldn't have picked a better day.
No, he really... That is up there with the White Rock Theatre Hastings having a capacity of 1066. Yeah, and his birthday is on the 666th of January.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
So, Kim Jong.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm mentioning Kim Jong-un more than you're mentioning that optician's, Frank.
Yes.
But we've all got our passions.
He might go to Cubits for all we know. He wears spectacles sometimes, doesn't he?
Does he?
He does, yeah.
Well, so what type does he go for?
Sort of fairly thick-rimmed black...
He's generally...
Like
he's a goth, generally speaking, isn't he?
Yes, yeah. I would say that that's his style.
Yeah. Which is a
futuristic goth.
He wears it well.
I find this something a bit Poirot-like about him, because he's a portly fellow, and in every picture he is inspecting things.
There used to be a fabulous website of his father saying, Kim Jong-il, was it his father?
Yes.
Kim Jong-il looking at things, it was called, and it was in that place.
Well, he's only got, because his haircut, do you know this? You know, he's got a name, his haircut. There's only 28, there's regulation haircuts that you can have. There's only 28.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
One is his style.
Yeah. That'd do me.
Yeah. And it's called Ambitious. So if you just would go into the barber and you say, I'll have an Ambitious, please.
Non-ambitious at the front and fun at the back. Was it a party at the back?
Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yeah.
You can see posters of the permitted haircuts.
Can you?
You can
brilliant.
See your little menu.
If they're opposite the barber. So that happened to me once. I went into a barber's. He said, how do you want it done? I said, you see that poster over there with me on? Can you do it like that? And he put it, he did exactly that. He cut it really? Like it was on the poster, yeah.
Oh, that's a...
I think you should try it and say, I'll have an ambitious, please. Yeah. See what you get.
Yeah, I'm worried about that, in case there's anything on the sly going on at the barber's.
Okay. So, he spent his birthday, they think, because we don't know for sure, but if this was his birthday, Kim Jong spent it at a chicken farm.
Yeah, he's got the same birthday as Elvis and William Hartnell, the first Doctor Who.
Ah.
Wow.
And I think
that's
also,
quite a party.
Yeah, Shirley Bassey and David Bowie on the same day.
Elvis did live a bit like a dictator towards the end.
Yeah, there are Kim Jong Un Elvis parallels. So yeah, they wear parallels, I think, most of the time. Occasionally go for a boot cut.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jong Un is pioneering baggy trousers. I think if you look at pictures of him inspecting things, it's a very late 90s skater jeans.
I wouldn't mind going to a chicken farm for my birthday.
Yeah?
So I can casually throw away words like gizzard.
Yes.
And wattle.
I mean, it's a lot. He does seem to have a habit of taking his daughter.
Yes. Well, this is, of course, the big story. The daughter has become... She seems to have replaced the wife as the one, as the plus one, Kim Jong-un's plus one.
Yeah. Mm.
She's been, so far, she's been to 4 missile launches and a chicken farm.
Yes. Yeah. School trips these days.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wow. And they think... this was the same girl that got the Where's Wally book
yes.
from Dennis Rodman. Which who wrote Where's Wally? Do we know? Is it American?
American.
I'm not sure.
Okay. You know my favourite children's author, of course. Mm. Make 'em up a go, make 'em up a go. But it's not him. Yeah, they think she could be the next leader,
based on how quickly she found Wally.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Also, we could be in a situation where North Korea get a female leader before the Labour Party.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio. Oh, Frank, we've been discussing celebrity birthdays. If you consider Kim Jong-un a celebrity.
Well, I think so. He's well known.
He didn't used to crop up much in 3 a.m.
No.
But, you know, no. You take what you get.
You don't
get.
Want him cropping up at 3 a.m. You know, that's it.
Jason has got in touch with this news.
Oh, yeah.
It's Buzz Aldrin's birthday today.
Is it really? Ah, well, I should celebrate that in some way.
Because that's who your son... Is that who... That's who Buzz is named after, isn't
it? Is. It is, yeah. Mm. Oh, good old... Buzz Aldrin.
Last scene.
If anyone deserves to celebrate their birthday with a rocket launch, it's Buzz Aldrin.
Exactly.
Not Kim Jong Un.
Exactly.
Yeah. Last scene on a runway. He was doing some fashion work, wasn't he? In a silver bomber jacket.
Buzz was.
Mm, lovely.
Oh, okay. Really? Multi-badged.
Yeah, I think he might have had a slight lift in the heel, but no judgment. You know, we all embrace a Cuban later in life.
Well, speak for yourself.
Steve Burgess on Twitter points out Poirot and Hastings both getting a mention on today's show.
Oh, I see. Yeah, we try to have balance on the show, don't we? Mm.
Frank, what's your favourite detective?
Oh, Columbo.
Mm. Is it?
Oh, man, I love Columbo so much. Even though I know he's done it within 5 minutes of the start.
Okay.
I think it's the greatest statement of class difference in any piece of art I can think of, that the whole strength of him is the way people look at a dishevelled bloke from an ethnic minority, Italian in Israel, and just dismiss him and think, I don't have anything to worry about with this. silly little dirty man. And that is his major weapon. Once they think that, they are doomed.
That's what they said about you. It's similar to you.
Well, it is the way that people, you know, whether it's their accent or what they look like, we all do it, I suppose. You make the big judgment. But rarely is it used against. Rarely does one's prejudice come back to get you as much as in a Colombo.
Being a Belgian as well, probably quite good for being underestimated.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. There used to be a thing, didn't there, about can you name a Belgian, when it was sort of a synonym for being boring.
Was
yes,
it?
Yeah.
Magritte must have come up.
Yeah, Hergé, I think, might have been Belgian rather than
French. Tintin and all that.
Okay. We're also getting lots of tackies sightings being sent in.
Okay, I'm just jumping on some as we speak.
You've really started a phenomenon here.
Oh, I think it was there before me. I merely observe it.
Stuart Middleton, who says, normally of Prestwick in Ayrshire. Do you say Ayrshire? Ayrshire.
Ayrshire.
But currently on the beach in Mexico.
Mm.
Stuart wanted us to know, I found Tackis...
Make sure you don't get any burns.
Ayrshire, yeah. I found Tackis here too.
From Ayrshire. Make sure you don't get any burns. So he's from Ayrshire.
Okay, Frank.
And this week, by the way, on the 25th, me and my son will do our annual thing when we eat haggis and I read Robert Burns and he absolutely laughs his head off. Just likes the sound of it.
I mean, it's all gone a bit Kim Jong-un taking around the missile launch factory.
It has.
I haven't yet sampled the cheesy hexagons or the blue heat cylinders.
No.
But I will be happy to report back shortly. That's Stuart.
Well, I know, the zombie flavour. Well, not so much zombie flavour. That would be a bit like having a blue cheese. But I think the original Fuego is still the best of the tackies. Anyway, listen, Sarah Champion is up next. Do listen to Sarah. And episode 3 of Frank Skinner's Poetry Podcast is out on Wednesday. It's Billy Collins this week. Do you know Billy Collins? Billy Collins is one of America's most loved poets, and so popular that he had his own channel on American Airlines in-flight entertainment, which is pretty good. Try Billy Collins. It sort of seems simple and then he's deeper. Mm-hmm. Okay. You can download it from wherever you get your podcasts. Me and Pierre will be on stage tomorrow night in Swindon and various other... We're at Bridport this week and Salisbury. Where else are we?
Chelmsford.
There you go.
I believe.
Yeah, we're around, so come and track us down. It'd be lovely to see you. And you know what? If the good Lord spares us and the creeks don't rise, we'll be back again this time next week. Now get out. This is Frank Skinner. This is Absolute Radio.